It's just past 7 o'clock, so we'll start off. So we have an apology from Councillor Davies. Any other apologies? No? Okay. Do we have any declarations of interest? No declarations of interest? No hands up?
Okay.
Okay, then. Thank you.
Thank you. No declarations of interest. Okay, so we'll just move straight. Oh, just the minutes. The minutes from the last meeting. Do I have any move? Councillor Aitken, second Councillor Day. Nothing arising. All those in favour? Against? Carry. Okay, moving on. Councillors, we're starting with item number two, the Penn State and redevelopment. Mr. Robinson, are you bringing this in?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. As councillors will have noted, the report outlines that the New South Wales government has committed funding to the redevelopment of Penn Stadium. After completing a strategic business case review, to date, feedback has been provided regarding the stadium's redevelopment through mayoral correspondence and officer engagement, and this has focused on strategic alignment and potential infrastructure provisions such as an indoor sports stadium, car parking and the like. Infrastructure New South Wales are now conducting public consultation, and Tom Jellybrand, head of Project New South Wales, we'll provide an update in terms of project status and where forward, and we'll receive questions and feedback from councillors. Unless there's questions now, I'll hand over to Tom Jellybrand for a presentation.
Councillor Batusa, do you have a question?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. Andrew, I just want to clarify, in the briefing paper, it says it on a number of occasions, it keeps calling it Penrith Football Stadium. For anybody that knows sport, football is round ball code. I presume we're talking about Penrith Rugby League Stadium. Is that correct?
Penrith Rugby League Stadium, Councillor Bruce Bertuzzo, that's correct.
If we could note that and have that amended, that would be greatly appreciated, because through the paper it also does say the Penrith Stadium project. So I think for the sake of clarity, it needs to be corrected. Could that be done, please?
Yeah, that's fine, Councillor Bertuzzo.
Thank you very much.
Okay, there's no other questions. Mr. Robinson, if you can introduce your guest, please.
Yeah, so Tom's going to take over the presentation, Head of Projects New South Wales, if Tom's there.
Thank you, Andrew. I'm here. Can I be seen and heard?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much for the opportunity to present and be at the meeting tonight. I'm also with my fellow workers, Tom Sloan and Chiara Nisi, who are both involved with the Penrith Stadium project. We have a short presentation which talks about the consultation that we're engaged with. And if you're okay with that, I was going to get Chiara to share her screen, and I'll go through it quickly so that we've got an opportunity for questions and answers if there are any, if that's okay. Yeah. Thank you. So as Bernard indicated, we've been asked to look at the delivery of the Penrith Stadium, we call it, and it is the home, obviously, of the current Premier's Panthers. I'm sure the Council's already done this, but our presentation acknowledges traditional owners of the land. Next slide. Thanks, Chiara. So today we just wanted to cover off the things that are on the slide in front of you. It's a fairly high-level overview of what we've been asked to do. In terms of consultation, give you a quick update on the status of the project as well as that consultation and next steps. Thanks, Chiara. So as Council would be fully aware, the government's planning on redeveloping the stadium, and that's part of its commitment to a number of upgrades of sporting venues around Sydney. We're in the final stages of delivering the Sydney Football Stadium project, which, again, Bernard would be acutely aware of, having been involved in it one way or another in the past. It's going really well. And now the government's keen on moving forward with the upgrade of the stadium out here at Penrith. And it would be for obviously a home of Penrith Panthers and Rugby League, but also as a major event venue redeveloped in such a way so it meets the needs of the growing population out here in Western Sydney. So it would be more, the plan is more than just Rugby League. So why Penrith's been chosen? Obviously, as you folk would all know, it's already a large area of Sydney. It's a growing population, and the government's keen on improving the visitor and the sporting infrastructure out in Western Sydney. And there is a plan to, as far as possible, make sure that the stadium is available for other uses. You know, primarily, it's obviously the home of Panthers and the home of Rugby League in this part of Sydney, but there's also a strong interest in it by the government as well as the community to see if we can host other events. Thank you, Kiara. The actual project itself, there's been a business case that our government has considered, and following that consideration, the local member, the new Minister for Sport, asked us to actually initiate some community consultation, which hadn't been done up at the point of the business case development. So we're in a consultation phase. We've got an online survey that's been up and running for about 6 weeks. It officially closes today, but we'll still be accepting submissions online as they come in for a little while. And we've been working with Andrew and other people inside council to set up roundtable discussions with key stakeholders, as well as one-on-one meetings. And we're going to consolidate that feedback into a report, which will be considered by government in helping scope and shape the project moving forward. And it won't be until we've taken on the board that consultation and shared it within government that we'll really get greater clarity around the scope of the project, its timing, and then its budget as well. So the consultation phase is a really important step that we need to go through before we get clarity around time, dollars, and scope. Thanks, Kiara. I think I've mentioned a few of these things already. The actual online consultation has been going well. We've got almost 3,000 submissions, which is actually really fantastic. That's a high level of interest being shown by the community. We've also had face-to-face engagement with people attending Panthers matches, and we've gone to two of those, the most two recent games in round 7 and 9. And as I said before, we're having round tables, which will start, I think they're being planned in the next couple of weeks. And again, Andrew's been really helpful in terms of scheduling venues and what have you. And we will then have one-on-one meetings. In terms of the consultation and certainly in terms of council, we're really keen on getting feedback on the things that you see on the screen before you. So what do you like about the existing stadium? What sort of improvements could be made? Do people have like reference projects or other stadiums that they like? They can tell us what they are, what sort of facilities people would like on the way there, on the way back from the stadium, things around making sure that the stadium is fully accessible for people with any sort of disability or mobility issues, as well as the types of events that could be held in the stadium to make sure that it's available for broader uses that the community might like to see. And then probably most importantly, certainly for me, is what's the experience like inside the stadium? Because we want to make sure it creates the best experience for the people that go there, so they really enjoy it. And you know, obviously for people using it like the Panthers, they actually get some sort of competitive advantage about it. So it's their home ground. It's really got to work from an excitement point of view for the teams as well as the people participating in the events. So we're encouraging people to give us that feedback. That last slide that's on the screen now just is a QR code that people have been using to provide the feedback. Like I said, it officially closes today, but we're open for comments moving forward. And we're really keen on hearing from stakeholders and obviously council tonight. So I deliberately went through that as quickly as possible because I know council is always busy and it's not always easy to get on the agenda. So I'm happy to take any questions that people might have.
Councillor Carney.
Yeah, thank you for that, and thank you for your presentation. And look, I think for me and one of my biggest priorities is parking around the area. Most people who go down now on game day, cars are parked everywhere and anywhere. Panthers are full. We're increasing the capacity that can be held at the ground. So I think, you know, making sure that we've got adequate parking around and even some transportation to other parking within the area is actually included as part of this. And how do we actually get people into the stadium? Because it's not a 5 minutes walk from the stadium. It's not that far from the station, but it's not that far, but it's still a bit of a hike. So majority of people who go there do drive. So we just got to make sure that, you know, we can get people in and out of there and parked up there safely.
Yep. Thanks for that point, Councillor Carney. We've also, we'll be talking to Transport for New South Wales in terms of accessibility across the roads as well. As you mentioned, a lot of people will park across Mulgar Road in Panthers leagues and then walk across the road or cross the lights to get into the game. And as the game becomes more popular, especially with a new stadium, that access needs to be really carefully managed. So it will be interesting to hear feedback from Transport for New South Wales on that.
Councillor Fain.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I've been to Parramatta Stadium a number of times, and I've got to say it's a great spectacle going there. To watch a game, it's just fantastic. You really feel like you're part of the action. I think what's really important for Penrith as well is that I think Councillor Carney hit it spot on as far as parking goes. Parking around Parramatta is a disaster as well. We don't want a repeat of that. But I think what's really important is multiple entries and exits. So you get people into the stadium quickly and you can get them out of the stadium quickly as well. But totally accessible for all entries and exits, and I think that's really important.
Thank you.
Councillor McEwen.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I won't go over the issues that have already been raised, but, of course, safety along Mulgoa Road is quite paramount. Especially given that the road is going to be significantly upgraded. So we'll have more lanes in both directions. So that safety of crossing there is going to be really important. Can you just remind me what the increase in capacity will be for the stadium?
The government's announcement was that they were aiming for a stadium of 22,000.
Right, which really isn't a net increase.
It's not a substantial increase over what is provided for in the moment. But again, there's opportunity, you know, as we go through consultation and refinement and design and scope, there are opportunities to, you know, to address the capacity to, if it needs changing or if there's demand, can be looked at.
The other thing, some of the feedback that I was hearing was about the intention to do away with the hill, being able to sit, you know, in family groups on the hill. It will all be sort of tiered seating.
Well, it hasn't been designed yet. There's some concepts that have been developed up to help determine what the capacity is, as well as to start looking at how much it might cost to build. And some of those concepts didn't include retaining the hills. And certainly we've had a lot of feedback from the community in the online survey saying that that's one of the elements of Penrith that they enjoy, being on the grassed hill with their families.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the feedback that I've heard. And I know that council did a study with some considerable time ago now, where we did engage consultants, and they actually had a long, hard look at the behaviours within the stadium. You know, how was it used? Like, a lot of the youth were going there with their families, and they would just basically continually walk around and, you know, look at the game and spot, you know, friends or people from school or whatever. So there was, Andrew, I'm pretty sure you were around at the time when that study was done, but it was quite comprehensive and it was a little bit of an eye-opener for council at the time, because the whole sociability and the networking and interactions that were happening at the games was quite good. So I don't know whether that particular study or whatever came out of that could be shared with you. I'm not sure if that's possible, but I just raised that we had done that body of work some time ago. And I thought of something else. There was another thing that I thought of, which completely escapes my mind now. Oh, the other thing that I was just going to raise with you was, I know that you're talking about using it for other codes, or, you know, other as a facility for other events and what have you. I suppose my question is, how firm are you going to be able to do that? Because I do know that in the past, Panthers have been extremely reluctant, and you know, I'm not understating it here, to share the facility for anything else. And I think even when we had the Socceroos, not the Socceroos, the Matildas, I think it was almost like pulling teeth to be able to get them there to play. I think it was Brazil or someone. But it has been very, very challenging, I know, because I think council's sort of been involved in many of those discussions. So I'm just wondering what sort of ability you're going to have in getting Panthers to cough it up to be used for anything else, I suppose. Yeah.
It's a really good point. And we've had that feedback from different people that these are my words, but it's a closed shop and it's difficult to get other events to go there. So if you rebuild it, how can you change that? And there is a desire to be able to host other events. It could be the Matildas, it could other soccer teams might play there, or it could be music, other things like that. So obviously the turf is fantastic at Penrith. It's known for the quality of its pitch, and that's really important that you maintain that. But the other major venues, Parramatta, Sydney Football Stadium, the SCG, are available to pretty much all codes. So it's an issue. I'm not trying to pass the buck here, but it is a really front and centre issue for venues in New South Wales who will be operating it. They need to manage it and operate in such a way that it is accessible, not just to the Panthers, but also to other codes that, you know, are willing to pay and bring entertainment to Penrith, but also smaller community events, people that might, you know, want to use it as well. So it is pretty much front and centre of what venues needs to consider in developing their operating model, because that's the model for, not Combank, sorry, it's changed its name again, but as we all know, the Parramatta Stadium and Sydney Football Stadium and the SCG and Stadium Australia, for that matter. It's used for a variety of different activities.
Councillor Bertusa.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And g'day, Tom and Chiara. Nice to see you guys.
Lovely to see you.
I just want to clarify, Venues New South Wales are going to be managing the facility, or Venues Live?
Well, you're right. There could be movement between the two. At the moment, we've been talking to Venues New South Wales with a view to understanding what their requirements would be if they were responsible for it, but that hasn't been set in stone.
Okay. No, it'd be good to clarify that, whether or not it falls under the umbrella of Venues New South Wales or Darryl Carey's operation. And you've said that time, budget and scope are still in discussion in terms of the stadium development. So is there an opportunity? Because one of the key things, I think, to make this unique facility would be a roof. And it becomes 365 days of the year worth of activity. And given we've got a little airport down the road, we've got the North-South Rail Link, projections of another 100,000 residents coming to live for all the right reasons in the Penrith LGA footprint, it would make plenty of common sense to invest in a roof, I would suggest. And yes, I agree with Councillor McEwen that it does need to be accessible if the Jackson Five want to reinvent themselves, or Beyonce wants to come and perform at Penrith, I don't think we'd be knocking them back. I think we'd be it's come to our city. So is the roof on the table for discussion?
Well, certainly the Minister for Sports has indicated he wants to hear all the suggestions. It'll ultimately be a decision for government, but he's asked us to undertake consultation to actually hear exactly what you're saying, views around accessibility, car parking,
Well, I'm certain my councillor colleagues would support the fact that we need to have the best stadium in Western Sydney, and the other mob that live down the M4, they can have their little stadium, and we'll have the best one. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Councillor Fowler.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Mayor. Tom, capacity you said was about 22,000. Given that the last game that was held there was the tickets that were sold out a week before the event, is there any expectation that there can be an increase in the capacity?
I think that's another piece of feedback that would be really good to pass on in our consultation report. We've had feedback that people like the size it is at the moment and the fact that it's got hills. We've also got feedback about, as Councillor Pretous has just said, about putting a roof on it and making it available all year round, which sort of discounts things like a hill. But we've got to put all of those ideas and potentially if it's raised as an opportunity, the capacity as well. So, well, the community is asking for a bigger stadium or a smaller stadium. We're genuinely keen on hearing all those views so we can put that back to government. But it hasn't been designed yet, so I would say it's entirely feasible to accommodate it if government was interested.
Just a question on the operations of the facility. My understanding is that it's currently leased by Penrith City Council to Penrith Leagues for the use of sport. I'm not quite certain, but maybe Mr. Britton might be able to help me determine that lease and the arrangement.
2028.
So 2028. So is there any issues in relation to terminating that agreement? And who is actually going to manage the facility going forward? You did say destination for Sport New South Wales, but given the existing arrangements, does that create a problem?
I don't suspect it would be a problem, but it's definitely an issue that has to be worked through because you're right, there are existing lease arrangements in place with and subleases as well. So there's tenants and subtenants, I understand. And in the event that Venues New South Wales takes over the facility and is the operator, you'd have to determine what lease arrangements need to exist, whether or not it's then divested to council to do the day-to-day running or if Venues takes it from a day-to-day point of view and then enters into arrangements individually with organisations like the Panthers, or it could be the Australian Rugby League or individuals. I'm not sure. These are conversations that we'll be having with Venues, and ultimately it'll be the government will have to decide the best operating model.
Just one further question, if I may. There has been some media speculation about the adjoining trotting ground being a facility for the sports stadium. Are you able to comment on that, or are you? Has there been any, I suppose, discussion in your realm in relation to that being an alternative venue?
So we have had one meeting with the Harness Club, as well as Capital Corporation. I think they.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, Capital Corporation. So we had a meeting with them a couple of months ago, just as some early engagement, as we did with council, and I think we've got another meeting coming up, just as part of that stakeholder consultation, adjoining landowner consultation talked about before. But the article that I read sort of came as a surprise to me as well. It hasn't been part of our considerations yet, but it doesn't surprise me. And it's, again, part and parcel of the consultation that we're undertaking. We do genuinely want to hear views of people. It might be don't change the existing one or it should be on a different site so you don't interrupt the playing facilities for the Panthers. That article was a little bit of a surprise.
It shouldn't have been a surprise because it's been talked about probably for the last three or four years. So.
Well,
that
yeah, we'll.
That surprises me that it's a surprise to government.
Oh, it might not be a surprise to government, but myself and my Infrastructure New South Wales people are fairly new to this. We've really only been engaging with the Office of Sport and others in government for probably 2.5 months, maybe 3 months. And we were asked to talk to Harness Club very early on, and the Capital Corporation have also indicated they're really keen on getting a rezoning for that site. And some of the conversations we had were, well, okay, well, what would you get it rezoned for? And they want high-density residential. And we did have those conversations. That's interesting. And what would you do if it wasn't? Do you just keep a trotting track there forever? So in that respect, I've been aware and I've been thinking about, well, if it isn't rezoned, and my understanding is that, well, I don't want to make any assumptions, but the council's the authority in that area. If it isn't rezoned for residential, what does it end up? It's, you know, very strategically important piece of land in the Penrith council area. So,
yep. Okay. Possibly an alternative that should be looked at.
Yep. Well, we're expecting on the back of that newspaper article that there'll be more of the conversations, and we'll definitely be reporting that back to government, what we hear.
Thanks, Mary.
Thank you. Are there any other questions?
Just one.
Oh, Councillor Carney?
Just one more, thanks. Just in relation to, so the discussions you can have with either a Bench New South Wales, whoever it may be, is going to be the person, the organisation who will run it moving forward. So part of those discussions around, will that include also the ongoing maintenance, the rebuild costs, if there's any rebuild costs moving forward? Is that something that will be held within that organisation to look after into the future, or is this something that's going to come back into the future and hit Penrith Council?
Well, the operating models for the stadiums at Parramatta and Sydney Football Stadium, as well as the SCG, are all run by venues. So they're responsible for all of the operating expenditure. They put their budgets together and they say, this is how much revenue we're going to get and this is how much it's going to cost, and they've got to kind of run it as a going business. So in the event that they were the operators for Penrith and they had these lease arrangements, say, with Panthers or other users, venues would be responsible for trying to, you know, make the venue pay for itself as far as possible.
Yeah, look,
and that's quite a difficult thing to do in a lot of stadiums.
Yeah, and I look, you know, from the council point of view, you do get a lot of things that are promised to an area, and then it ends up coming back onto council to pick up the pieces afterwards.
Yeah.
We all want to see a fantastic facility in somewhere where we can have concerts, we can have rugby league, we can bring the Wanderers back out here. Yeah, we can do all those kinds of things, and that's what we want to see out here. But we just got to make sure that, I guess, on a council point of view, we're protected as well, that we're not going to end up with a big pile of money owing at the end of the day.
Yeah, so you're concerned about what they often call cost shifting happens between different levels of government. Yeah, yeah. I understand that.
Tom, it doesn't go from local government to state, I can assure you.
No, it's all one way.
It only ever goes one way.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom.
Okay. There's no further questions. Thank you, Tom, and your team. Thank you for your time tonight, and we hope to hear from you soon about what actually is going to be built.
Thank you very much for having us, and we'll be having some roundtable meetings very shortly out your way.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Councillors, are there any further questions for Mr. Robinson about that? No, all good. Oh, no, Councillor Bertuzza.
Madam Mayor, through you. Andrew, in the paper, and I just want to get some clarity around this, it keeps talking about we want to see eight, I saw it in there somewhere, it was eight courts. How does that fit into the redesign of a potential 20, 22, 25, 30,000 stadium? What are we talking about there in terms of a multi-sport indoor centre? Is that part of what we've asked him? Because we didn't raise it with Tom then at all.
Madam Mayor, in terms of some of the engagement we've had with the representatives of the of government, Office of Sport, and they've asked a range of questions around other recreation or infrastructure around making that stadium work. And one of those was a suggestion based on the back of our, you know, sport and recreation strategy that identified the need for additional indoor courts, was to enter that suggestion into the mix. So when they're looking at the precinct, it could be an option for them to consider in the mix, and as Tom said, look at it potentially in the future design and how they can accommodate it. So it was, I'm not sure how it would fit in there, but it was a suggestion based on the need that has been demonstrated through the sport and recreation strategy and an opportunity that presented itself through the question we were asked about recreation facilities and activating that precinct.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Well, that was interesting. Didn't really tell us much about the stadium, but at least we know that the consultation's underway and they'll be coming back. Just looking at the recommendations.
I'll move the report, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Pattusa. The recommendations just have been received. We have Councillor Pattusa, second Councillor Shipley. All those in favour? Against? Carried. All right, moving forward, councillors, and item number one is the results of the public exhibition of the Urban Heat Planning Controls Package. I understand there's not a presentation on this, but Councillor Fain, you have a question?
I'm happy to do the report. You're on mute.
Fain, you're on mute.
Speak up, guys.
Sorry, Madam Mayor. Look, I'm happy to move it. And I have a few comments to make if someone would like to second it.
Councillor Fowler will second it.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Look, first of all, I want to thank the officers for putting a lot of work into this. Like, cooling the city is incredibly important. And I know it's something they've been passionate about over the last couple of years, as has council itself. I mean, we had a heat summit specifically with the idea of trying to cool the city. I guess my concern is, Madam Mayor, you can put all this work into it and you can do the best you can to try and cool your city because we know how hot it gets out here, and then you can be totally undermined by the state government. And I'm deeply concerned about the minister and his actions recently to not only kibosh sustainability or, we lobbied really hard with a lot of councils across not just the metropolitan area but New South Wales. But we also, advocated with the minister, which was Minister Stokes then, who actually agreed with what we were advocating for, and black roofs were banned, which was a terrific thing because it would mean it's a major difference. And aesthetically it looks better too. And I think the minister understood that. But unfortunately the new minister is a vandal. First thing that he does is he overturns that, and we've gone back to black roofs, presumably because it's cheaper, or he thinks it's cheaper. But if the production line was producing the same number of lighter coloured roofs as black roofs, it would be the same price. So it's artificial in a way. So I also think that we need to contact our other local governments, those in the city do, Wesrock, and we get some action because out west, it is really, really tough in summer in those 40-plus degree days, and we should make a stand about black roofs, and we should make a stand about sustainable housing so that as far as basics and things go, that when you build a house, you're going to be cool.
Thank you, Councillor Fain. Are there any other... Councillor
Cramery? Thanks, Madam Mayor. I was just looking outside there tonight, and when you see all these modern high-rise buildings, 10 stories, 20 stories, during the day they're going to heat up because they're cement, and they don't get a chance to cool down overnight before the heat comes again, and they're absorbing the heat and making the city hotter. I have no problems with trying to cool the city, but I don't think that these sort of conditions should also be put on a rural area. And in a rural area, you've got grass, you've got plenty of grass around the house and everything else. You haven't got tar and cement covering the whole block of land. So I'm just wondering whether council officers take into account anything that we bring up has a dividing line between the rural and the residential, because I'd hate to see that a residential block with trees, grass and everything else is going to have the same impost as a block in town that is completely all tar, cement and pavers, etc. So I think that we need to have a little bit of thought on that part of it, that if we bring in conditions that it doesn't flow across the whole city, that we take into account what we are trying to achieve. And I have no problems in putting street trees in the city to try and do it, but I don't really want to see 20, 30, 40 metre trees growing in our city that are going to have a life of maybe 30 or 40 years and then want to fall down. I think we should really be looking at the tree species. I mentioned twice before about in Europe where they have fruit trees which are only about 3 metres tall, but they're along the street and they provide the coverage. So we don't really want to be putting in 30-metre trees and 40-metre trees like we have down in Lakeside down here. Those trees are going to come down eventually. They're going to cause problems with dropping branches. So I really hope that when we come up with a tree species, we take a lot of these things into account. So it's just my feeling on that part of it.
Councillor Clamy, on page 4 of the report, there's an issue that selected tree species.
Yeah, I saw that about the tree species.
A list of appropriate trees is currently being developed by council, which will determine which tree species are suitable for planting in the Penrith LGA.
Okay, but I understand that that's in there, but I just want to point out that I don't believe any of those tree species should be anything above 20 metres tall maximum. And most of our native trees will grow taller than that, unless you go for the box or something of that nature. But out at the school of Wallachia, we got trees that were planted when Councillor Powell was a boy.
Yeah, probably planted them.
And those trees are now 40 metres tall.
And they look good.
And at the moment, we have had about 6 removed, and we've got another 2 to remove because they
are. Madam Mayor, cannot hear the conversation that's going on.
My apologies.
Lucky you, Councillor Thane, lucky you.
I was being drawn into a question. I was saying that the tree species should not be above 20 metres tall. The trees out at Wallachia, which are native trees that were planted by Councillor Fowler when he was a boy, are now over 40 metres tall. They are dying and they are dangerous. So I'd like to see real consideration being brought into what the tree species are and their heights that they can possibly grow. And I apologise for that, Councillor Thane.
Councillor Carney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is something we've pushed along, and I know Councillor Thane's been spearheaded this, and Councillor McEwen as well. But I think, with the shrinking lots, with the shrinking lot sizes we've seen within our communities over the last 10, 15, 20 years, the lack of green space we've seen around, the reversal of the roof, this is more and more important than it ever was. People are struggling out there. We've been lucky the last probably 12 to 18 months because we've had quite a wet summer season, so we haven't really felt the heat that we have in previous years. And I think a lot of people have forgotten how hot it actually gets out here. And I think the importance of us and the lobbying that we need to do on this to make sure that, A, the state government won't reverse some of these decisions is more important than ever. And I think, you know, as Councillor Bain said, you know, using either councillors, other councils to help us along with it, local government, New South Wales. I think it's something we really need to be pushing at the conference again to make sure that this is, you know, entrenched in our system, in our planning system, to make sure that we do keep these areas out here cooler for our residents. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you.
If I may, and just following on from what Councillor Thane was saying, and probably following on from the Heat Summit, which I was the instigator of, I think probably we need an additional item on the recommendation. I would suggest, if Councillor Thane's happy with that, that it would be something along the lines of Council write to the State Government and Local Government New South Wales expressing an opposition to the recent changes to policy that are detrimental to the sustainability of the urban built environment.
Councillor Thane, are you happy with that recommendation?
I think that's a great idea. Councillor Fowler, thank you for saying what I wanted to say.
Good. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay. All right, councillors, we have recommendations before us, including recommendation number 8. We're going to second you. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Thank you very much. Item number 3, the draft grants application policy. So, Councillor Mr. Moore? Oh, not speaking to this? No? Okay.
Move the recommendation, Madam Mayor.
Move the recommendation?
Seconded, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor
Chair. So,
any questions? No? We'll move the report. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Thank you very much. Item number 4, the Model Code of Meeting Practice.
Yeah, good.
Pardon? Okay, again, there's no presentation. Mr. Benz is here to answer any questions. If there's any questions, I have a member on the report. Councillor Cameron, seconded.
I do have a question. I think there's a need in our meeting practice code for the community to be able to express themselves in relation to any issues that they may have regarding anything that affects the community. We used to have a general business item which gave a relief to that requirement. Now we don't have anything that avails the general public or council laws at that time of the meeting to be able to raise items of their concern. Just a comment.
Thank you. Councillor, are you willing to second the report? No. Yes or no? 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 I have a second on the report, please. Councillor Carter. Are there any questions for Mr. Beggs?
Madam Mayor, in the, I was reading that there is an opportunity to have a community meeting before the general meeting. Is that what you were talking about, Councillor Fowler? That people can come in and have a public meeting before the actual meeting?
Yes, and I know a number of councillors do avail themselves of that facility, but I think what we had previously worked exceptionally well. Over my 30-odd years on this council, there were sometimes a little bit of abuse of it, but generally speaking, it was a method that availed both councillors and the community to be able to express themselves. I mean, but currently, we only have the availability for the public to make a presentation in relation to matters, but those matters have to be matters that are on the business paper.
Okay. So are you suggesting that we do look at bringing back the opportunity for the community to speak on matters before the meeting or during the meeting? Because I'm not sure whether that would be allowed.
I think it's something that requires further examination by the council.
Mr. Beggs, can you explain about the general business items not being used anymore?
Sorry, through you, Madam Mayor. Yeah, Councillor Fowler and Councillor Day are correct in stating that there is the option of having a public forum, and a number of councillors do that. I think we've gone over the issue around general business and its legitimacy and the current code, and it just doesn't meet the current code. It's outlawed. So that's why we've made changes to that in recent times, as councillors would be aware.
Sorry, can you explain how it's outlawed?
How general business is outlawed?
Yes.
Yeah, well, there's a requirement to give notice in a council meeting of business that's to be transacted on the night. In general business, by its very nature, there's no notice given, obviously, of that for it to be transacted, which is why we have the other avenues, notice of motion and such, where you give notice to do that.
Isn't that contrary to democracy?
Councillor Fowler.
You may not answer. You don't have to answer that.
Thank you. So tonight the council's adopting for the code to go out in submission for the public to make comments on that. The code will obviously come back, and any comments that are received will be reported to council, and the council will ultimately make a decision of that at the June council ordinary meeting.
Councillor Bertuzza.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Through you, Mr. Beggs, can you explain the parameters around advice for general business items? I mean, does it say somewhere, because I couldn't see it, does it say somewhere in there where it's a day, 2 days, a month, 6 months, 12 months worth of notice before an item can be dealt with?
Councillor Producer, I probably answer that. There's a model code of meeting practice. You can't have a code of meeting practice that is contrary to that code of that model code of meeting practice. You can add to it, but you can't take away from it. Within there, it does require all notice of business to be given, and that's generally done through the business paper as such. A councillor can raise an issue, but they have to do so through a notice of motion, and that notice of motion, I think, must be in by the Monday before, 5 days before the meeting as such. And, there's no other opportunity to raise business, because you can't just raise it on the fall, because there has to be notice of it. Now, there can be urgent business, and that is a legitimate thing to do. And, that's a matter that the mayor can rule on at each meeting, and councillors can bring forward urgent business, but it has to be urgent. Beyond that, there's no other opportunity to raise business without notice at a council meeting.
Okay, so just so I can clarify that, councillors and or the community then can raise a matter at an ordinary meeting that they deem urgent with the approval of the mayor, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and with regards to a motion... With regards to a motion that is it's not really an urgent motion. If it's advised, I think you said the Monday prior to this, so it's effectively 5 working days before the, so that can be then listed as an item, a motion for discussion during the council meeting as well. That's correct?
That's correct. If it's a lawful motion put forward.
No worries. Thank you.
Sorry, does that have to be a motion?
It has to be a notice of motion as such. So there has to be, a motion put on the floor of the council meeting. And sorry, I'll just clarify, it's the councillors' meeting. The councillors have to bring the items forward, Councillor Bruce Producer. And it's the councillors bringing those issues to the council. You can't put business on the paper without due notice of it.
No, but if you put business on the paper with notice, it can be an information item.
It can be an information item, yes.
Okay. Any other questions?
How do you determine something's urgent when you don't know what it is?
It comes in as a council request. Councillor Cameron had one at the last meeting. It came in as a council request. So I looked at it. It wasn't urgent. And then it was dealt with the next day. which you can't raise it on the floor. It has to be a request.
That's a written request.
Yes.
It can be handed up on the night.
Yes.
Madam Mayor.
Councillor Cramming?
Yeah, because we have to, by the law, now give due notice. We could, by email, send a meeting, a thing to all the councillors so they knew what it was, but then that doesn't let the public know.
That's right.
And the clause also states that not only do the councillors need to know prior, but so do the public. And that's where the problem lies. Otherwise, we could just send out an all councillor memo and we could let all the councillors know and we could let the staff know, but we can't let the public know. So therefore, you can't use that. But if we do it 5 days beforehand, that means it can go into the business paper. So therefore, the public knows about it.
Which is exactly what happens in state parliament, federal parliament. No, it doesn't.
Okay, councillors, are there any other questions in relation to the model code of meeting practice?
Madam Mayor, I just want to ask about the section 4.1 about holding a public forum. Is it something that we could do just on a trial basis to cover these types?
We actually have that's where the member of the community address council, and we do that at the council meeting.
But that has to be an agenda item. This is prior to the meeting where they can bring something to the forum that is not on the business paper. Yeah. It's a public forum, so they can come prior to the meeting with an issue that they may have. That's my understanding of reading it. So it doesn't have to be in the business paper based on 4.1.
Adam might know, but can I just say that, look, can we have a look at that? When we come back off exhibition, you know, we can obviously come back at that point and address that issue.
I think that gives a good opportunity to be able for people to have something that we don't have to wait another month if there's something urgent.
We'll have a look at it. We'll have a look at that.
Can I just make a comment, Councillor, through you, Madam Mayor? If the matter is urgent, it can be raised as a matter of urgency and judged as such by the mayor. So that would overcome that problem if it was something that was urgent. There would be a test applied, which would be the prerogative of the chair to do that. Currently, the only encumbrance put on a member of the public coming in is they have to identify themselves and notify that they're going to come to speak. So that's a choice in terms of the way we do it. If we had a public forum, there would still be an expectation. People just rock up and talk about whatever they want without any prior knowledge or information. That would make it more difficult, I think, for us to respond in a meaningful way. But the way it works at the moment is I think it's quite useful and productive here because people come in, they talk about an issue, often it'll be on the agenda, and then councillors can ask some questions as well, and it's quite a useful way of doing things. But we can explore any public meetings before the meetings themselves, but of course that would stretch the time that councillors are going to need to be around prior to the council meetings themselves.
Oh, I think, yeah, as I said, it would be good to look at because there is a process. It's quite detailed on what they'd have to do, but I just think it could be an opportunity to look at. If we're reassessing everything, let's put it back on.
Okay, so it's moved by Councillor Cramming. Did we have a seconder on this? Councillor Carney, just second it.
Madam Mayor, just a question on that. Sure. So if we were to move to having an open forum, an open public forum, then does that then mean that the public addressing the council meeting and the ability for councillors to ask questions on their presentation would no longer happen? Is that correct?
Well, the general scheme is to do that all before the council meeting, and the council meeting just become, you know, a meeting without anybody speaking to that meeting. That I think that's the idea of it. But we didn't think that what we do at the present time was a particular issue, and we thought that there was, you know, there's very few meetings where, you know, it goes so long because of the public comment that goes on that we thought that it was probably not something that we would look at. But given what's been raised tonight, we can have a look at that. and, you know, put this on exhibition and come back after that exhibition with this.
Okay. Madam Mayor, can I just 4.1 through to 4.11 will cover Councillor McEwen's question because it's quite detailed in the meeting code of what, if you were to go down that road, what the requirements would be. So there is reading there.
Madam Mayor, but what we're proposing would actually substitute that. So that's why I asked my question. That would then disappear and the code would be redrafted and renumbered. So that's why I asked the question, because in my mind you wouldn't have the two. You would have one or the other. You would not necessarily have the two. So the code would be rewritten, if you like.
I did ask this question before, Mr. Britton, that we were not intending to change what we do in our meeting practice. We were still having members of the public coming in to address agenda items. So we're not changing what we're doing in that regard. So members of the public can still come before to the council meetings and address the council, and we can ask some questions. We're not changing that.
Providing matters on the business.
Providing the matters on the business paper, we're not changing that.
Madam Mayor, if I might make a suggestion, one of the impetus to get this done quickly is because some of the changes to councils attending remotely, and we have to have that done by the end of June. If the council's of a mind to consider some other option around public address of council meetings, we can update our code at any time. So if that's something that the councillor determines in some other discussion that we want to do, we can certainly bring the code back and we can look further at the public interaction component of the council meeting at any time the council wishes that to occur.
Yeah. Okay.
I think what really is my task here is issues that aren't on the business paper. Is there a possibility or availability to have a forum for matters that members of the community want to raise that might not be dealt with in a normal course of business or may be dealt with in a report several months down the line. So that the opportunity is to create an avenue for members to discuss and bring forward matters which they feel passionate about to a forum, regardless of whether it's on the business paper or it's not on the business paper.
Yeah, Madam Mayor, through you, I understand the issue Councillor Fowler is raising, and it's something we can have a look at and bring some information back to councillors for further consideration in the code down the track.
So, the thing is, this report has to go out to the public because it has to be approved before June, so we can include the ability to use the video for council meetings.
We can send it and have all that stuff off.
So Councillor Patoon, did you have a question?
Yes. Sorry, Madam Mayor. Just a question with regards to the way we've changed general business to obviously comply, if I'm understanding this correctly, with the new model code. Across the board, all councils, all LGAs, all councils no longer have general business the way we used to, where councillors could raise an item. Is that correct?
I think, Councillor Patuza, we were one of the very few councils that actually did do general business. I remember when we had the briefing from, was it Marie Sheehan came out and briefed us on, she was actually surprised that this council did general business, a general business.
So no councils have general business anymore. That's accurate?
That was what I took from her. I don't know that for sure, but that's what I took from her, that she was surprised this council entertained general business.
Which is contrary to every meeting of directors of any organisation that is set out. They always have general business at the end.
Well,
Councillor Patrice, we looked at a range of councils and we couldn't find any council doing general business quite the way, you know, like we were doing it. They'd all moved to the new model in some way.
Okay. So is there any value, is there any value in us writing to the Minister for Local Government to clarify whether or not we're entitled to have general business in the way we used to? Is that unreasonable?
Councillor Producer, we've spoken to them, and they clearly have indicated to us that that is not an acceptable practice anymore. So, you know, we have spoken at length to them about that, and, you know, that has been the response from the officers at the Office for Local Government.
Is that response in writing?
Maybe. We may have emails to that effect, yeah.
I think it would be appropriate to have that.
Councillor Carney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just a quick one. With general business, is that only for ordinary meetings, or is that for all meetings within council's domain? So children's services, everything. What is it just on that? Because the issue is children's services have general business, Access Committee has general business, all of them do have general business. So are we cutting it from one, or is it going to hit every single one of them?
Well, the rules around the Children's Services Cooperative is a separate set of rules that comes out of the Cooperative Act, which is different to the Local Government Act as such. But it is general practice now, even in companies these days, for, you know, business to, you know, be transacted where there's been due notice given to, you know, everybody. But can I just say to you that council is a public forum, and the issue is about giving the public notice. So it's in a bit of a different scenario to some of the others.
I guess, and going on from my question, is it just around the one particular meeting, as in our ordinary meeting, or something like this meeting? Does it also impact on...
Well, it would impact policy review as well, so because it's a public meeting as such. So.
Adam, Mary, if I can sum that up, it's the meetings of which the Code of Meeting Practice apply to, which is the ordinary meeting, and any committee meeting of which all councillors are members, which currently for us is only the policy review, which is the only meeting of which committee meeting of which all councillors are members. The other meetings we recommend broadly follow the code as a good practice, but it's not a document that's specifically applicable to those meetings. So for the other smaller committee meetings, for example, it's not something they have to practice like we do on the ordinary policy review committee and any future committee meetings that might have all councillors as members.
The other committees act normally.
Whatever normal is.
Councillors, are we all finished? Okay, Councillor, so we have a mover and a seconder of the recommendations as printed. Do all those in favour? Against? Carried. Thank you very much. Councillors, we just need to go back to item one, which I was unaware that it's actually a 375A, so we'll need to have a show of hands. So the Urban Heat Planning Controls Package.
With item eight attached.
So with as recommendations as printed, but including a recommendation number 8, which was accepted by the mover and the seconder. All those in favour? All those against? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Okay, the last one is the item number 5, the review of council's borrowing policy.
Move the report, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Seconder?
Yep.
Councillor Fowler? Do we have any questions? No questions?
I need to just state that this has been through the Audit and Risk Committee, so they're very happy with it. They've examined it and acceptable to what's provided, what's suggested.
All right. Do we have all those in favour?
Aye.
Against? And that's carried. Thank you, councillors.
Thank you
for a great meeting. Thank you very much.